What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 138. In this episode, I'll discuss the role of sodium bicarbonate in critically ill patients. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode138. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. At the time of this episode, I'm hosting a closed beta program for my Critical Care Pharmacy Academy, a private paid membership group where I teach other pharmacists about critical care. I plan to open the academy for others to join in December 2016. If you want to know more about this when it opens, you can sign up to be notified at pharmacyjoe.com/academy. Sodium bicarbonate is often used in critically ill patients. However, it's not a treatment that is benign. Potential adverse effects of using sodium bicarb include increased production of lactate. This is by altering the pH and interfering with the feedback loop on lactate production that is normally held in check by acidemia. Decreased left ventricular contractility due to a decrease in free ionized calcium and hypernatremia. Due to the numerous potential adverse effects, sodium bicarbonate should be judiciously used only in patients likely to benefit. Here are some examples of indications for sodium bicarb. Quinidine-induced torsades. For torsades that is the result of quinidine, sodium bicarb should be administered. Alkalizing the serum with sodium bicarb will decrease the amount of quinidine that is active on the heart. Giving sodium bicarb in the setting of aspirin toxicity alkalizes the urine, trapping ionized aspirin within the renal tubule and enhancing elimination. Serum alkalization in the setting of tricyclic antidepressant toxicity is indicated in the setting of arrhythmias or shock. It should not be done prophylactically, though, in patients who do not have any cardiac effects of tricyclic toxicity. There is a lack of prospective randomized studies to support the use of sodium bicarb in severe diabetic ketoacidosis. Nonetheless, in patients with severe DKA and a pH less than 7, sodium bicarb can be used to prevent the decrease in myocardial contractility that accompanies severe acidosis in the setting of DKA. When the pH rises above 7, sodium bicarb therapy can be stopped. This is one of the more frequent indications where sodium bicarb, I find, is inappropriately used, even being started when the pH is already above 7. Sodium bicarbonate administration will not have an effect on potassium levels until several hours of a bicarb infusion have elapsed. So when using sodium bicarb in hyperkalemia, after 4 to 6 hours, if the patient with hyperkalemia also had metabolic acidosis, the serum potassium will decrease by just over half of an MEQ per liter. That's not enough to make a difference for a patient with severe hyperkalemia. I think sodium bicarb's only role in this setting is as an adjunct to insulin and dextrose in a patient with concomitant metabolic acidosis. And there's a few circumstances where sodium bicarbonate has little to no clinically meaningful effect. The first example here is coagulopathy. Coagulation parameters are worsened in the setting of acidosis. Unfortunately, the correction of the pH with sodium bicarb does not seem to be enough to reverse the adverse effects of acidemia on coagulation. Another example where sodium bicarb has little to no effect is when it's used in respiratory acidosis with inadequate ventilation. So in the setting of acidosis and inadequate ventilation, administering sodium bicarb will have no effect on the blood pH. Just to recap, bicarb accepts a hydrogen ion to become H2CO3 and is further broken down into H2O and CO2. The removal of CO2 by adequate ventilation allows more bicarb to accept more hydrogen ions and lower the pH. The elevated PCO2 that results from inadequate ventilation puts a stop to the generation of H2O and CO2 that normally results from bicarb administration. And this is why you'll have no effect on blood pH if you're giving bicarb, even in acidosis, to a patient with inadequate ventilation. And a final example of a circumstance where sodium bicarb has little to no effect is in cardiac arrest. A very recent review of literature and ACLS guidelines was published, and it concluded, although many studies have shown little to no benefit and perhaps harm from administration of sodium bicarb for rapid correction of acidemia accompanying cardiac arrest, and the latest ACLS guidelines published by the AHA do not recommend routine administration, sodium bicarb is still used as part of resuscitation and cardiac arrest. Additional research is needed to elucidate further the effects of sodium bicarb on organ function, on the likelihood of return of spontaneous circulation, and on survival in patients resuscitated from cardiac arrest. An objective reappraisal of the use of sodium bicarb or other buffer agents, and perhaps on an appropriate therapeutic window for use of sodium bicarb in cardiac arrest patients, is warranted. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just bookmark and use the link pharmacyjoe.com/shop to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.